हरे कृष्णा। सो बिफोर जन्माष्टमी वी कुड नॉट फिनिश द डिस्कशन ऑफ द क्वालिटीज ऑफ कृष्णा, इन पर्टिकुलरली द फोर क्वालिटीज विच आर वेरी स्पेशल टू हिम एंड विच आर नॉट फाउंड इवन इन नारायण। हैविंग डिस्कस्ड द क्वालिटीज ऑफ कृष्णा इन जनरल, then we also briefly outlined the 64 prominent qualities of Krishna that Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then we began a discussion on the four sweet special qualities of Krishna. We talked about Leela Madhuri, in which Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that Krishna is like an ocean that is filled with waves of nectar-filled pastimes, and these waves are constantly flowing. In other words, Krishna is constantly performing wonderful, blissful pastimes with his devotees. And this is called Leela Madhurya or Leela Madhuri. The second is that Krishna is always surrounded by Priyamandalaha, by a circle of very intimate dear associates and devotees who are filled with the highest degree and quality of Prem. So that is called Prem Madhuri. The third special quality that Krishna has, which is not found even in Narayan, is that Krishna plays the flute very, very attractively. And this is called Venu Madhurya. We have seen earlier when reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the playing of Krishna's flute attracts the three worlds. Tri Jagan Manasa Akarshi. Tri Jagan means the three worlds. Manasa means the mind. Akarshi means that which attracts. So Krishna's flute playing attracts the three worlds. The flute is Krishna's constant companion. It is Krishna's most famous item of paraphernalia, along with the peacock feather, perhaps more than that. If you show anyone a picture of a flute together with a peacock feather, what will they think of? Immediately they will think of Krishna. Even if you don't have Krishna's form, but simply by seeing a flute, and if you add to it the peacock feather, then there's no doubt that we are talking about Krishna. I have seen many of these abstract paintings done by these modern artists who splash some colors and just have a flute somewhere and a peacock feather somewhere, and you're supposed to understand it as Krishna. Of course, the person who's seeing it understands because he sees the flute and he sees the peacock feather. Krishna has many names, and each of these names are given to Krishna by his devotees because of his different qualities and his different activities and pastimes and so on. He also has many names based on his playing the flute. Can you mention some of the names that Krishna has because of his flute playing? Murli Manohar, Murli Mohan, Bansi Bihari, Venu Gopal, Murli Dhar, one who holds the Murli, the flute. Then Venu Madhav, Murli Vadak. Right? So there are so many names of Krishna which are connected to Krishna's quality of playing the flute. One time one devotee asked, why is it that Krishna has chosen the flute to play? Probably his question was, why not the trumpet or something else, right? Why the flute? Well, Krishna prefers the flute. It is not that Krishna can't play the trumpet. It is not that Krishna can't play the sitar or the guitar for that matter, for those who like the modern day music. Krishna can, just like he can speak all languages, similarly he can also play all musical instruments, but still of all of them he prefers the flute. That is his, you could say, trademark. That is something that he prefers and he always keeps with him and he plays it at will. So this is Krishna, the flute player, who is a cowherd boy. This is his eternal activity. He herds the cows, plays with the cowherd boys, dances with the gopis, gives pleasure to the elder gopas and gopis like Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, and he plays his flute. So even now, Krishna is playing his flute. He is still here. His flute sound is still there. But we are not able to hear because our ears are directed to hearing material sounds. So we cannot hear Krishna's flute sound, which penetrates the coverings of the universe and is all pervasive. There is a lot of nice description of Krishna's flutes and Krishna's flute playing. We'll discuss briefly some of that today, and then we shall see. If we finish the discussion today, fine, otherwise we will continue tomorrow. There is so much, even from the Srimad Bhagavatam, to speak about Krishna's flute playing. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has given a nice description of Krishna's different kinds of flutes. And in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada also has outlined very nicely. So let's just read Srila Prabhupada's words for two or three paragraphs and we will know what kinds of flutes Krishna plays. There are three kinds of flutes used by Krishna. One is called Venu, one is called Murali, and the third is called Vanshi. So which are the three kinds of flutes of Krishna? Venu, Murali, Vanshi. Repeat please. Venu, Murali, Vanshi. So we remember this now, right? For the rest of our life. Venu, Murali, Vanshi. So what is a Venu? Actually, these are also general terms. Venu means any kind of flute, Murali means any kind of flute, Vanshi also means flute. But here specifically Srila Rupa Goswami is saying that they also refer to certain kinds of flutes that have certain shape and dimension and so on. So he's going to describe that now. Venu, the first kind, is very small, not more than 6 inches long, perhaps at the most 9 inches, with 6 holes for whistling. See the detailed information we have on God here. We have detailed description of not only God himself but all his paraphernalia, and each of his items of paraphernalia are described in so much detail, down to the extent of how many holes his flute has. So the Venu has 6 holes for whistling and it's quite short, 6 to 9 inches long. The next, Murali, is about 18 inches long, with a hole at the end and 4 holes on the body of the flute. This kind of flute produces a very enchanting sound. The Vanshi flute, that is the third kind now, is about 15 inches long, with 9 holes on its body. Krishna used to play on these 3 flutes occasionally when they were needed. Krishna has a longer Vanshi, that is, this is a special type of Vanshi now. The ordinary Vanshi is 15 inches long with 9 holes. So now Rupa Goswami is saying that there is a special kind of Vanshi which is longer than the usual, and that is called Mahananda or Sammohini. And when that is even longer, it is called Akarshini. Mahananda means that which gives great bliss. Sammohini means that which truly bewilders, completely bewilders. Samyak Mohini. And Akarshini means that which completely attracts. When it is even longer, it is called Anandini, that which provides great Ananda. The Anandini flute is very pleasing to the cowherd boys and is technically named Vanshuli. These flutes were sometimes bedecked with jewels, sometimes they were made of marble, and sometimes of hollow bamboo. So Krishna's flutes were made of all kinds of different materials, sometimes jewels, sometimes marble, sometimes bamboo. And sometimes, at another place, Srila Rupa Goswami says that when Krishna was in the Kaumar age, Kaumar means below 5 and below. So he had just begun playing the flute, and sometimes he would have a slender flute tucked into his waist, between the waist, his body and the dhoti. And sometimes he also played on a flute that was made of leaves, very expertly made. When the flute is made of jewels, it is called Sammohini. When made of gold, it is called Akarshini. So imagine a flute of pure gold. The flute also has many, many magical qualities and apparent contradictions. In the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, the author Srila Kavi Karnapur, the great devotee of the Lord, has said that the flute is a bundle of contradictions. Why is that so? Because it is full of holes and yet it has no defects. When we see something full of holes, we can understand it is defective. Suppose you have a pot and the pot is full of holes. Is it of any use? It's of no use. Even if someone is arguing with us and we want to point out with that person that his arguments are defective, we say your arguments are full of holes. That means it's defective. There's so many defects in your arguments. So generally we say that when something has holes, it's defective. But here is the flute of Krishna that is full of holes but has no defects. The second contradiction that Kavi Karnapur says that is there in the flute is that the flute is very hard. But although it is hard, it makes the hardest of hearts soft. Even the heartless people completely soften and mellow. Even those with stone-like hearts, which are very hard, they become very soft. Even though the flute itself is very hard in its structure. Then Kavi Karnapur says, the flute is hollow. Something that is hollow through and through, you generally would imagine that it doesn't contain anything except air. Because how can it hold something when it's hollow and open from both sides? But Kavi Karnapur says that even though it is hollow, still it is filled with a stream of different kinds of melodies and ragas. It's a stream of ragas. He gives another example. The word parva in Sanskrit means many things. The parva also means a part, section. Like for example, in the Mahabharata you have many parvas, Shanti Parva. So parva is a section. So similarly, the flute is made from a parva of a tree, from a section of a tree. But still, it initiates hundreds of parvas, because the word parva in Sanskrit also means festival. So when Krishna plays the flute, it is a festival. Actually, hundreds of festivals take place when Krishna is playing the flute. Similarly, Kavi Karnapur plays on the word vansha. The word vanshi comes from the word vansha, which also means bamboo. In Hindi they say bas, which means bamboo. Now the word vansha also means family or dynasty. Like for example, the moon dynasty is Chandra Vansha, or the solar dynasty is Surya Vansha. So this flute of Krishna is made from vansha, from bamboo, or in other words, it's from a good family, which is supposed to have virtues and everything, piety, good qualities. But it makes all the gopis and all the residents of the higher planets lose all their good virtues and chastity. In this way, Kavi Karnapur has described the various qualities of the flute which make it extraordinary. Krishna's flute is a treasure house of wonders. And nobody can really understand how Krishna plays the flute, and they cannot even try to understand what these sounds are that are coming from Krishna's flute. It is so bewitching, so bewildering, so fascinating. So the question then arises, why does Krishna play the flute? Krishna plays the flute, of course, like he does everything else, for his own pleasure and for the pleasure of the devotees. That's the only two reasons Krishna does anything. But more specifically, Krishna plays the flute in Vrindavan specifically to reciprocate with the love of the residents of the forest. You see, in Vrindavan, everything and everyone loves Krishna. Generally, when we say thing, we mean that that object is not conscious. So we say everything, or is not a person. But in the spiritual world, everything is conscious. Everything is a person. So the trees, the grass, the water, the rocks, they all want to love and serve Krishna. And they're trying to offer their service in some way or the other to Krishna. So when Krishna wanders in the forest with his friends and with the cows, he glances upon all these trees and rocks and the water and the air and so on, and they feel very happy because they are serving him. They feel some kind of reciprocation in their service. And a very important way in which Krishna reciprocates with their service is that he plays the flute to attract their minds. And by the flute he indicates to them that yes, I have accepted your service and I'm very, very happy with your service. So while he's in the forest, the trees, the grass, the creepers, the river, they all have Krishna's association. But the Brajabasis back home in the village, they are deprived of Krishna In the evening, the Brajabasis are eagerly waiting for Krishna to come back from the cowherding pastures. And the gopis especially go to the shalikas, to the terrace, the towers on top of their homes, to look into the distance in the direction from which Krishna is expected to come. And when they see the godhuli, that is the dust that is raised by the hooves of the cows and the calves as they are coming back from the pasture fields, then they understand that Krishna is now returning. But even before they can actually see the dust, they can hear Krishna's transcendental flute playing, and they understand, yes, Krishna is coming back now. And in the time interval between morning and evening, when Krishna is away in the forest, that same transcendental sound vibration echoes and reverberates in the ears of the Brajabasis and particularly the gopis. And in this way, somehow or other, by the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, the fire of separation burning in the hearts of all the Brajabasis is somewhat mitigated. Another Every morning when Krishna rises, he starts playing his flute. And all the cowherd boys stir up. There is excitement among the cowherd boy community in Vrindavan. Krishna has woken up, it's time to go, time to go. They are completely excited, because now the whole day they will be with Krishna. So Krishna calls all his friends with the flute, saying, now the time has come to go into the forest, so get ready. So hurriedly the cowherd boys rise, their mothers make them take bath, they dress them up nicely, they very hurriedly, because they don't allow the mothers to dress them up sufficiently nicely because they are in a hurry to go to see Krishna. Somehow or other they rush. Sometimes some boys who are early, who have finished early, they come to help Mother Yashoda dress Krishna. And sometimes Krishna will tease his friend. In one instance mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, as Vishal is helping Mother Yashoda dress up Krishna, then Krishna smacks him with the flute. And then Mother Yashoda says, what is this, Krishna? What are you doing? Why are you teasing Vishal? And then Krishna starts laughing, and Vishal also starts laughing. In this way, there is intense affection between the friends. And they can't wait for the moment when Krishna will be ready and it's time to go. And then what a festival for the eyes it is for all the Brajabasis. As they see Krishna surrounded by the cowherd boys and hundreds of thousands of cows moving gracefully into the forest like an ocean with millions of waves flowing nicely. And on top of that there is Krishna's flute playing. In our Krishna art book, we have the famous photo of Krishna entering into the forest. It's a very famous picture. We also have a picture of Krishna returning from the forest. So both these pictures are there, and both you will see that Krishna is playing on the flute. That is especially the time he plays, when he goes and when he comes back. And of course, at different times when in the forest, he also plays the flute. But not always, because sometimes he's eating prasadam with the devotees, sometimes he's imitating the animals and the birds and playing games and wrestling with the boys and so on. But especially when he's coming and going, he certainly plays his flute. And in this way, he's assuring the devotees that don't worry, the fire of separation will be mitigated by this transcendental sound vibration from my flute. So this is the way he calls the cowherd boys. He also calls the gopis. When Krishna was only 7 or 8 years old, he stood at the Vanshivat tree on the bank of the Yamuna and he began to play his flute. And upon hearing this flute, all the gopis, the young gopis in Vrindavan, they left everything they were doing and rushed to Krishna. Krishna was calling them with his flute. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that some gopis were feeding the children, but they left the children right there and rushed. Some were serving their husbands and their in-laws. They just left the service and went away to see Krishna. And in their hurry, they didn't even know what they were doing. They wore their clothes upside down. They absolutely had lost complete sense of what is right and what is wrong in terms of everyday etiquette and dressing and so on. They just put on whatever they could see and they rushed out. So captivated were they by the sound of Krishna's flute. Although Krishna's flute is Trijagan Manasakarshi, that it attracts the three worlds, nowhere is the impact of Krishna's sweet flute song more strong than in Vrindavan. And even in Vrindavan, nowhere is it more strong than it is on the young gopis of Vrindavan. So it makes them leave everything and rush into the forest to see Krishna. So this is the second instance of how Krishna uses the flute to call his devotees. He also uses his flute sometimes to call his cows. We see at Ter Kadamba near Nandagram, many of you may have visited Ter Kadamba. It is a famous place of Srila Rupa Goswami's bhajan. He would sit there. He wrote some of his literatures there at that famous place. And it is said that it is at this spot that Krishna would come back and he would climb the tree and he would look out for his cows and then he would play his flute. And hearing the flute song, all the cows would come running joyfully. Now that it was time to go home, it was time to be with Krishna on the way home. And the different groups would come, led by their leader. Sometimes Krishna would call them with his flute, and sometimes he would call them by their names. Krishna knew the names of all his cows. Nanda Maharaj had more than 900,000 cows. But of course, Krishna would not call out the names of each cow. He would call out the names of the leader of each group of cows. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purports, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries have been quoted that there are different groups of cows. Some are white, some are brown, some are red, some are black, some are different colored, some are speckled. So each of these different groups were named differently. The white cow leaders had names like Hamsa, Chandini, Chandani, Ganga. The red cows were like Aruna, Kunkuma, and so on. Those who had forehead shaped like a mridanga called Mridangamukhi or Singhamukhi. So Krishna would call out these names either with his flute or with his voice. And all the cows from that group would come and surround Krishna and drink his beautiful form with their eyes. And they would lick him and lick him. Because for animals, that is the way they express their affection. And then Krishna would say, all right, now you stand here, be ready to go. And then he would call the next group and the next group. And in this way, all the groups would gather together and it was time to go back. And then all the cowherd boys would gather and they would return. So Krishna calls his cowherd boys with his flute, he calls the gopis with his flute, he calls his cows with his flute, and even now he's calling all of us. From where? He's here close by. In fact, he's standing at two places on two altars. As along with Balaram, he's standing and playing the flute. He's holding the flute actually. But as Shamsundar, he is actually playing the flute. And he's calling us, come, come. Don't forget me. Come, be attracted by my wonderful flute song. Sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. Sometimes when our mind is preoccupied with other things, we neglect to be attracted by Krishna's flute sound. Srila Prabhupada says there is no difference between Krishna's flute song and the chanting of the holy names, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It is all transcendental sound vibration. Inasmuch as the residents of Vrindavan were attracted by the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, Srila Prabhupada says that we must also become attracted to the manifestation of the flute song that is available to us here in this world in the form of the holy name. We must also try to chant purely and become more attracted to the Shuddha Naam, to the pure holy name of the Lord. Krishna plays the flute also for various other purposes. Incidentally, he initiates Brahma, who is born on the lotus flower, and Brahma wants to know, he is confused about his duty, doesn't know what he has to do, and then Krishna's flute sound penetrates the coverings of the universe from Goloka Vrindavan, enters into Brahma's ear as the pranav omkar, comes out as the Gayatri mantra, as the essence of the Vedas. And in this way, Brahmaji speaks the Vedas, which is nothing but the transformation of Krishna's flute song. And of course, in the forest, Krishna sometimes plays his flute to entertain his friends, to entertain himself, and all the other birds and animals, etc. Actually, all the cowherd boys have their own flutes. They have their bugles, which are like horns. Although everyone that goes with Krishna has flutes, including Balaram, but still there is no one who can play the flute like Krishna. Krishna's flute playing is special, and it has a certain kind of effect on everyone which is indescribable. But nevertheless, Shukadev Goswami makes brief descriptions of these. So let's see how Shukadev Goswami is describing in two particular verses in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 35th chapter. Will begin with that. And this 35th chapter is the Gopi Geet. This side, has everyone got on this side? Okay, so we'll chant. This is the 14th and the 15th verses in the 35th chapter. These verses are chanted by different gopis at different times, so the acharyas explain. And Shukadev Goswami has compiled the statements of these different gopis made at different times and in different places and brought them all into one chapter. Vividha gopa charaneshu vidabdho venuvadya urdha nijashikshaha Tavasutah sati yadadhar bimbe Tavasutah sati yadadhar bimbe दत्तवेणुरनयत् स्वरजातिः सवनशस्तद् उपधार्य सुरेशाः शक्रशर्व परमेष्ठि पुरोगाः कवय आनत कंधर चित्ताः कश्मलं ययुर् अनिश्चित तत्त्वाः विविध गोपचरणेषु विदग्धो वेणुवाद्य उरुधा निज शिक्षाः तव सुतः सती यदाधर बिम्बे दत्त वेणुर् अनयत् स्वर जातिः सवनशस्तद् उपधार्य सुरेशाः शक्र शर्व परमेष्ठि पुरोगाः कवय आनत कंधर चित्ताः कश्मलं ययुर् अनिश्चित तत्त्वाः Please chant. विविध गोपचरणेषु विदग्धो वेदवाद्य उर्धा निज शिक्षाः तव सुतः सति यदाधर बिम्बे दत्त वेणुर् अनयत् स्वर जातिः सवनशस्तद् उपधार्य सुरेशाः शक्र शर्व परमेष्ठि पुरोगाः कवय आनत कंधर चित्ताः कश्मलं ययुर् अनिश्चित तत्त्वाः विविध गोप चरणेषु विदग्धो वेणुवाद्य उरुधा निज शिक्षाः सुतः सति यदाधर बिम्बे दत्त वेणुर् अनयत् स्वर जातिः सवनशस्तद् उपधार्य सुरेशाः शक्र शर्व परमेष्ठि पुरोगाः कवय आनत कंधर चित्ताः कश्मलं ययुर् अनिश्चित तत्त्वाः लेडीज प्लीज विविध गोप चरणेषु विदग्धो वेणुवाद्य उर्धा निज शिक्षाः तव सुतः सति यदाधर बिम्बे दत्त वेणुर् अनयत् स्वर जातिः सवनशस्तद् उपधार्य सुरेशाः शक्र शर्व परमेष्ठि पुरोगाः कवय आनत कंधर चित्ताः कश्मलं ययुर् अनिश्चित तत्त्वाः ट्रांसलेशन बाय श्रील प्रभुपाद This is actually the verse quoted by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu when he is explaining Venu Madhurya. O pious mother Yashoda, your son, who is expert in all the arts of herding cows, has invented many new styles of flute playing. When he takes his flute to his bimba red lips and sends forth the tones of the harmonic scale in variegated melodies, Brahma, Shiva, Indra and other chief demigods become confused upon hearing the sound. Although they are the most learned authorities, they cannot ascertain the essence of that music, and thus they bow down their heads and hearts. Vividha gopacharaneshu vidagdho. The word vidagdha means expert. One of Rupa Goswami's books is Vidagdha Madhava, expert Krishna. He is expert in everything. So here the gopis are saying that Krishna is expert in gopacharaneshu. In all the charana means here it means the activities. Whatever activities is supposed to be done by a cowherd man, a gopa, Krishna is expert in that. So what is a cowherd man supposed to be expert in? In cowherding. So because Krishna is expert in that, in the different activities of the cowherd man, so the gopis are saying, Vividha gopa charaneshu vidagdho. They're addressing Mother Yashoda here. And therefore they say, Tava sutaha sati. Here the word sati means a very pious lady, chaste lady. So, O very pious lady, Tava sutaha, your son. And it is because Krishna they are talking about, naturally the lady referred to here must be Mother Yashoda. Venu vadya urudha nija shikshaha. Venu vadya, his playing of the flute is extraordinary because urudha, many nija shiksha, he has invented many new styles of venu vadya. And it is truly astonishing. Datta venur anayat swara jatihi, and from his flute come out different melodies, different notes of music, which truly cannot be understood by others. There are different tones in the harmonic scale in variegated melodies. And upon hearing that, Upadharya Sureshaha, that means all the leading demigods, Sura Ishaha. Sura means the demigods, Isha means the Lord. Here it refers to the leaders amongst the demigods. Like who? Shakra, Sharva, Parameshthi. Shakra refers to Indra. Sharva refers to Shiva. Parameshthi refers to Brahma. And the acharyas comment that along with these leaders, others are there also. So along with Indra, there is Upendra, there is Yamaraj and others. Along with Brahmaji, there is Narad Muni, there are the four Kumaras. Along with Lord Shiva, there is Kartikeya, there is Ganesh, there is Durga. So all of these, what's happening to them? They're all Kavaya. They're all extremely philosophical, highly learned, great scholars. But nevertheless, they are unable to understand. Kashmalam, they get confused. Anishchita tattvaha, they are not able to determine clearly what exactly is this music. It is so wonderful, but they can't determine how it is so wonderful. The essence of that music they are not able to understand. And they simply bow down their heads and their hearts and they surrender themselves to this most extraordinary flute song. Actually, in the Vidagdha Madhav also of Srila Rupa Goswami, he has enumerated the effects the flute has on various other personalities in the universe. When Lord Shiva hears the flute sound, he stops playing his dindima drum. Dim 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 dim, he plays that. So it's called the dindima. Especially when Lord Shiva dances, he plays that drum. Lord Shiva dances on Mount Kailash, but his dance is quite exuberant and aggressive, unlike Krishna's dance, which is very graceful and mellow, very, very attractive. So when Lord Shiva is dancing his Tandava or any other dance with the Dindima, he hears that sound and he stops playing the Dindima drum. Great sages like the four Kumaras, who are always seated in deep meditation, they get completely disturbed in their meditation upon hearing the sound vibration. The creator of the universe, Brahma, who is seated on top of the lotus flower, which is at the topmost region of the universe, as he's seated there contemplating his creation, he hears the sound and he becomes astonished. What to speak of him? Even the great musicians, the chief of the Gandharvas called Tumburu, who are expert in music, they are made for music. Sometimes when someone sings very sweetly, we say, oh, he sings like a Gandharva. Many of the leading classical musicians in India are named after Gandharva. Some famous musicians are like that, Kumar Gandharva, Bal Gandharva. So even those who are expert, like Gandharva, as the chief of them, Tumburu, he also becomes astonished. They cannot understand the essence of the sound. Anantadev, normally, even though the universes from our standpoint are very, very heavy, but Anantadev holds them very calmly, as if there is no problem. It doesn't have any effect for him. But when he hears Krishna's flute sound, then he becomes dizzy. And he starts swaying, just as somebody who is dizzy starts swaying a little bit. So Anantadev, upon hearing Krishna's flute sound, starts getting very, very dizzy. In the same book, Vidagdha Madhava, there is a quote of Baladev. Balaram says, just see, when Krishna is playing the flute, look at what is happening to the king of the Devas, Indra. He is crying, and tears are falling from Indra's eyes uncontrollably. And these tears are falling in Vrindavan and making Vrindavan appear like the celestial residential places of the demigods. Because when Krishna was playing the flute in Vrindavan, so Indra also was watching. And when he was watching and he heard the flute sound, then he became so struck with wonder that helplessly he started shedding profuse tears. In this way, the Krishna's flute sound is Trijagan Manasakarshi. Everyone is attracted. Even the most exalted Purogaha, even the most exalted personalities in the universe are completely captivated by this sound, mesmerized. They just cannot understand the essence of this sound. It is very, very attractive. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu at other places, Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined that there are certain impetuses for ecstatic love of Krishna. That is called Uddipana. For example, seeing Krishna's footprints, or seeing the appearance of a fresh rain cloud, or hearing Krishna's bugling, or smelling the fragrance of Krishna's body. Now these are stimulants for ecstatic love of Krishna. Similarly, hearing Krishna's flute sound is also a stimulant for ecstatic love of Krishna. So no wonder that when Krishna plays the flute, anyone who hears becomes submerged in an ocean of ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also has, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita at different places, glorified Krishna's chanting, Krishna's playing of the flute. So please look at the second verse that we are going to chant for today. This is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 21. This is still part of the Sanatana Shiksha.
Nija sama sakha sange gogana charan range
वृंदावन स्वच्छंद विहार। जार वेणु ध्वनि सुनी स्थावर जंगम प्राणी पुलक कंप अश्रु वहे धार। निज सम सखा संगे गोगन चारण रंगे वृंदावन स्वच्छंद विहार। जार वेणु ध्वनि सुनी स्थावर जंगम प्राणी पुलक कंप अश्रु वहे धार। पुलकंपाशु वह धारा। प्लीज चांट। निज सम सखा संगे गोगण चारण रंगे वृंदावने स्वच्छंद विहार। जार वेणु ध्वन सुनि स्थावर जंगम प्राणी पुलकंप अश्रु वहे धार। एनीवन एल्स? निज सम सखा संगे गोगण चारण रंगे वृंदावने स्वच्छंद विहार। जार वेणु ध्वनि सुनि स्थावर जंगम प्राणी पुलक कंपाश्रु वहे धार। माताजी एनीवन? निज सम सख संगे गोगण चारण रंगे वृंदावन स्वच्छंद विहार। जार वेणु ध्वन सुनि स्थावर जंगम प्राणी पुलक कंप अश्रु वहे धार। श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन। व्हेन लॉर्ड कृष्ण वांडर्स इन द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ वृंदावन विथ हिज फ्रेंड्स ऑन एन इक्वल लेवल देर आर इन्यूमरेबल काउस ग्रेजिंग। This is another of the Lord's blissful enjoyments. When he plays on his flute, all living entities, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes. Nija sama. Nija means self, sama means equal. Sakha Sange. Sakha is a friend. So along with his cowherd boyfriends, who are Nijasama, who are on an equal level with him, what does Krishna do? Gogana Charana Range. There are innumerable cows there grazing in the pasture lands. Vrindavan is Swachanda Vihar. Vihar means the leelas, the pastimes. Swachanda means full of bliss. So these are the typical leelas that go on in Vrindavan. He goes out with his cowherd boyfriends, grazing the cows. But when he starts playing the flute, upon hearing that sound vibration, Dhvani Shuni, all pranis, all living entities, whether they are sthavar or jangam, whether they are inert or whether they are mobile, whether trees, plants, animals or human beings, they all tremble and they also start crying, tears flow constantly from their eyes. This is the effect that Krishna's flute has on others. And then further in the Antilila, chapter 19, text 42, Krishna Mahaprabhu is further talking about Krishna's flute sound. Kaha se murali dhani navabhragarjita jini jagat akarshe shravane jahar. Uthi dhai vraja jana trishita chatak gana aashi piye kantya mrita dhar. Kaha se murali dhani navabhragar jita jini jagat akarshe shravane yahar. Uthi dhai vraja jana trishita chatak gana aashi piye kantya mrita dhar. Please chant. Kaha se murali dhani navabhragarjita jini jagadakarshe shravane jahar. Uthi dhai vraja jana trishita chatak gana aashi piye kantya mrita dhar. Kaha se murali dhvani navabhragar jita jini jagat akarshe shravane yahar. Uthi dhai vraja jana trishita chatak gana aashi piye kantya mrita dhar. Mataji, is anyone? Kaha se murali dhvani navabhragar jita jini jagat akarshe shravane yahar. Uthi dhai vraja jana trishita chatak gana aashi piye kantya mrita dhaya. Srila Prabhupada's translation. The deep vibration of Krishna's flute surpasses the thundering of new clouds and attracts the oral reception of the entire world. Thus, the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chataka birds. Kahan se murali dhvani? Murali dhvani means the sound of that flute. Nava abhra. Abhra means a cloud. Nava means new. Garjita means the thundering or the sound. So navabhra garjita jini, the thundering of new clouds, newly formed clouds. So when Krishna plays the flute, his sound, the sound that comes out is like that. Of course, but it's much more sweeter than that. This is just a rough analogy that is given here. Jagat akarshe shravane jahar. And upon hearing that, the whole world is attracted and wants to hear it. Uthi dhai vraja jana trishita chataka gana. So what is the impact it has on the residents of Vrindavan? Uthi dhaya vrajajana. So all the vrajajana, the residents of Vrindavan, rise and they run. How do they run? Trishita chataka gana. Like thirsty Trishita chataka gana, chataka birds, who always look up towards the thunder clouds, towards the clouds waiting for the rain to come. They keep the mouth open so that if the rain falls, then some water will go in. Ashipiye kanti amritadhar. So they come and take the nectar of Krishna's beautiful form like thirsty chataka birds. As Srila Prabhupada translates, thus the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chataka birds. In this way, the sound of Krishna's flute mesmerizes the whole world. It's 7 o'clock, we'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll talk about the 8 different kinds of effects Krishna's flute has on different categories of living entities. And then we'll talk briefly about how these effects take place as described by Shukadev Goswami in the 21st chapter of the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, which is the Venu Geet. So that we will discuss tomorrow. And then day after tomorrow we'll talk about the last sweet quality, which is Rupa Madhuri. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Yes, one question.
Kindly discuss you how many ways realize the Brahma.
I didn't understand the question. How many ways
realize the Brahma?
Hindi mein boliye aap.
Brahma ko roop mein anubhuta hota hai. Brahma kitne roop mein anubhuta hota hai. Mere jara jagat mein.
Okay, the question is, in how many forms does the Lord appear? The Lord has innumerable forms, unlimited forms. But in His most original form, He lives in Vrindavan. And He is known as Krishna, as Shyam Sundar, as Govind. And He is there on the altar, and you will see Him there standing next to Srimati Radharani or standing next to Balaram. He looks exactly like that. That is His original form, and from that original form come innumerable other forms. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Kindly, I am...
We will talk later privately. You can come and...